Let's talk some Chiefs with our good buddy Matt Derrick. Nobody covers the Chiefs like Matt Derrick. Good morning, Matt. How are you, buddy?
I am doing very well, Nate Dogg. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm just, you know, sitting in the big seat, living life. You know, Steven's gone for the day, so king in the castle, king in the castle. I have a chair that doesn't work very well.
Oh, well. King in the castle, king in the castle. I have a chair. Go do this. King in the castle.
I've been barking orders at Jake. I've been, you know, just acting like I run the place, Matt. So how do you feel about that?
I always thought you did run the place, so.
Ha! Ha! Oh, man. All right, so everything's solved with the Chiefs, Matt, after that second half against the football team?
If you want to believe that, sure, let's go with that.
Okay. What should we believe? No, I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want you to tell me the truth.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, and you know, I heard you talking a little bit with Mark Boerichter too, and just kind of, you know, putting in my mind about where I think this team's at right now. And honestly, I mean, the defense has some problems. You know, there's no doubt about that, and I'm not entirely sure that they're going to get completely fixed this year. I mean, some of them are just simply some personnel issues, and you know, it's a defense, I think, that's a little bit in transition. They had improvements, but there's a lot of asterisks that you can put next to that second half against Washington. But the bottom line is that if this team stops turning the football over, they can beat anybody on the schedule. I mean, that's not a problem. They just have to stop turning over the football. So this is, once again, I mean, it is what the Chiefs have been. That is a world-class offense with a defense that, quite honestly, just has to be average, and they can win a bunch of football games. And the only problem is that the offense has not been world-class due to the turnovers. That's the biggest obstacle. If they eliminate them, like, again, they did in the second half, they're going to wallop people, and it doesn't really matter what they do defensively.
One of the things that was brought up yesterday when we were talking about the game is that both Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill are playing hurt right now, right? Like they're both clearly carrying some knocks that they're just playing through. And look, I understand it's the NFL. Everybody's banged up after a couple of weeks into the season, but they clearly are dealing with things that are making it hard for them to do their jobs. They're sucking it up and they're still doing the job. You concerned at all about how reliant the Chiefs are on those two guys, considering that we're 6 weeks in and there's a long way to go, because they really leaned on those two, even despite the injuries they were carrying in this game against Washington?
I mean, to me, the reliance on Travis Kelce has always just been the Damocles sword over this team. I mean, if you lose Travis Kelce for any period of time, I mean, that is going to impact this team, I think, greater than anybody would ever imagine. I mean, we've seen this team has won football games when Patrick Mahomes can't play, when he hasn't been a quarterback. I don't think you want to see this team play without Travis Kelce, because the last time you saw this team do that, you got to go back to that playoff game in the second half against Tennessee, and I think they win that game if Travis Kelce plays, but you saw what happened to the offense that day. That was with Alex Smith. The tight end position for Andy Reid is always what makes it happen. And, yeah, I thought, you know, and certainly that was the reason why, hey, they drafted Noah Gray. I think there was a reason to be optimistic with the development of Jody Fortson that, hey, you know what, maybe you can give Travis some rest from time to time. But you lose Fortson, and I'm not sure Gray has hit that point yet. But, to me, I mean, you lose Travis Kelce, you lose a lot with that offense. With Hill, I think that the Chiefs, as they have proven, they can play short periods without Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's not going to be the same team. They're going to be less potent. The reliance on those two guys in this offense is key. I mean, especially right now. It's great that occasionally some other guys can step up, but those two guys are the gravy train. And certainly, I mean, if the injuries caught up with both those guys and you had to play without them, I don't know. I don't think any Chiefs fan wants to see what this offense would look like then.
Man, I was so excited after that play that Fortson made. You know, that was the kind of play where you thought, physically, that guy can dominate his opponent. You know, you can throw the ball up to him and he'll go get it, which is something we've talked about the Chiefs really kind of needing on this team. It was so sad, especially just knowing his storyline and everything. the way that injury panned out, wasn't it? Just, I mean, first of all, on the field, you thought maybe he's working his way into it, but also just considering what it's taken for him to get to this point, that was so sad.
Yeah, it really was, because, I mean, Jody's a great guy. I mean, I've had a chance to talk to him going back all the way to, you know, his rookie season when he was on the practice field, on the practice squad. He's always had just a smile on his face in the locker room. Always good to talk to, just been really generous with his time. And, you know, yeah, you can see the journey. I mean, community college, you know, Valdosta State. If I recall, I think he was even on a rookie mini camp on a tryout basis. I mean, this kid has just had an incredible journey and worked so hard to get where he's at. And then to have that injury, yeah, that was just brutal, especially after you write that play. I mean, that play, when was the last time we saw a backup tight end in Kansas City make a play like that? I mean, you're right. I mean, that absolutely showed the ability that was a Travis Kelce type catch. You know, to be able to go up and just one-on-one against the receiver, go up or against the corner, go up and beat them like that, that's just, it's not something that a lot of guys can do. And he was really starting to get into his own. And so, yeah, to me, set aside just the journalistic aspects of it, I mean, that's one of those injuries that you just absolutely hate to see.
So I'm going to quibble with you for a little bit on that. And it's not like this is important, but you say Travis Kelce like catch. Kelce doesn't have to make catches like that because he's always open. That's the thing that blows my mind so much about Kelce. You can't cover him. You know, so I don't know how many times we've even had to see him just go out athlete a guy, like compete for a ball at the highest point to take it away from him. Maybe he has, and I'm just not remembering it. But that's what kind of blew me away about Fortson on that one was there's guys in the league sometimes where it's like even when he's covered, he's open. The thing that I love about Kelce is he's never covered. I mean, nobody can guard. But you sometimes you need to be able to throw it up to a guy and say, you know what? He's actually got the advantage there, even though there's somebody on him, because he can go up and get it, and you can't.
Yeah, that was probably a 2017 Kelce kind
of
catch.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's, to me, that's what separates Kelce and Hill from everybody else.
Yes.
I mean,
their ability to separate. Wow. I see what you did there, Matt. That's incredible.
Well, but here's the thing to me. I mean, the ability to separate, where did they get that from? They weren't born with it. It's not just something that they lucked into or anything like that. It's because those two guys have worked harder off the field than anybody else that you have ever seen. And, I mean, that's how they got, both those guys have gotten to where they are. I mean, it's because it's countless and thousands of reps and doing things on the practice field and the weight room and working out with trainers and working with other players at their position and picking guys' brains. I mean, that's how both those guys got where they are. I mean, I've said it before. I mean, there's nothing that an NFL player can do from May to February to get better. It's March to April when that's when players are born. It's those off-season months and what you put into it to make yourself better. And if you're not trying to do that when you're away from the team, there's nothing that an NFL team and a coaching staff can do to make you a great player. You've got to go off the field when you're away from the team and be focused on becoming great. And both those guys have done that. I mean, that's why they are at their career, because they've tried to take from the best guys in the league. They've tried to surround themselves with people who help them get better all year round. And not everybody, I mean, honestly, not everybody in the league does that. And it shows.
I mean, I hate to go back to it, but you know, we talked in the preseason about Mecole Hardman not working with Patrick Mahomes in the offseason. And I think, to me, like that, I wasn't planning on going there today, but what we're seeing from Mecole Hardman this year backs up to me why that was so baffling. Because we are seeing his explosiveness. They make it a point to get the ball in his hands. He made a really good catch, by the way, in the game down the field. But the vast majority of what you're seeing from Mecole Hardman, jet sweeps, you know, the little shovel pass when he comes in motion, things like that, where let's just get the ball to him and then let him use his speed to get up the field. That's what Tyreek Hill was at the beginning of his career. But he's developed into a complete wide receiver that can run the whole route tree and has that combination of trust with his quarterback and ability to go get open. And that's, I guess, the part, like, And maybe still Hardman could be that someday. And Hardman is still a useful piece on the team, like because of that speed. And because when you get the ball in his hands, he's dynamic. He is still a helpful, useful player on the team the way he is. But to me, to tie it into the whole conversation we're having about Kelce and Hill and how much they're asking of him, you know, when Hill had to miss that preseason game, they put Hardman in his spot, and he didn't look like he could handle it. He didn't look like he was ready for that responsibility, and clearly the Chiefs don't think he is. Maybe it's unfair to ever ask him to be that. Maybe his absolute ceiling is to be the guy that he is right now. But I felt like kind of what you said. If you're willing to put in all that work and just completely get a mind meld going with your quarterback, you could be even more than that. And I thought that was an opportunity wasted this year. And I feel like we're seeing that kind of play out on the field right now, Matt. What do you think of that?
Yeah, and you know, and this is, it's an odd time to be saying this because right now it's not working. But you know, the one thing that with Hill and Kelce and Mahomes that has been the key to so much of their success over the last few years has just been that those guys do know each other so well, and they've put in so much time together. And no, but Hill and Kelce, once again, I mean, knowing so much that they know about routes and about the arc of it, and about looking at coverages and identifying what they're seeing and how to make adjustments to that. That has always been the key, you know, to the success that these guys have had, because you might call it freelancing, and to a degree, I guess it is. But, you know, how many plays have Mahomes and Hill and Mahomes and Kelce made where they deviate from the script because based on the coverage that they're seeing, and it's a matter of Mahomes and Hill or Kelce knowing exactly what adjustment that each other is going to make and kind of just having that sixth sense and that mind meld there. I don't think it's any of that. I mean, you know, Mahomes and Hardman have never quite had that. And, yeah, I mean, maybe it does. Maybe it goes back to off-season workouts. Maybe it's working together. Maybe it's, you know, getting work on your own. But to me, it's definitely shows that if you are a guy, if you put in the time like a Hill and a Kelce does, I mean, that's how you become the best at your position in the league. And it's how you get the privilege of being able to be a guy that can deviate from the script and deviate from the route and make adjustments. Because you do it right over and over and over again, and eventually you earn the trust of coaches and your quarterbacks to be able to do those little things.
We're visiting with Matt Derrick. All right, Matt, let's shift over to another topic on offense, and that's the right tackle position. This switch to Remmers, how much of it was because of the hamstring to Niang? Was it more than that, and what did you make of the move?
Yeah, everything seemed to suggest it was a little bit more than that. And I thought Andy Reid was probably as forthcoming as he's ever going to be after the game on Sunday, you know, just kind of talking about how sometimes you have to take a step back to go forward. Certainly seems like this was probably not just a one-game switch. We'll see how long it lasts. Certainly injuries can always change that, but it certainly seems like maybe there's been just a position change there. Not a huge surprise. I mean, I thought this had been a possibility for a while, even going back to earlier, beginning of the season, when Remmers looked like he was getting back being fully healthy, because remember, that was his position. He really kind of lost it due to the back injury, and Niang stepped in there and did a solid job. But certainly I think the Chiefs were looking, especially against Washington, I think they were looking for a little bit more experience going up against a guy like Chase Young. And Mike Remmers, he had some good and bad moments. I mean, it was kind of a roller coaster game for him, I thought. But I think that he probably handled that situation better than Niang could have. And if that's the case, then, yeah, I mean, I think that they probably helped, you know, and Niang maybe avoid a bad afternoon. But to me, the reason why you probably make this switch is that the Chiefs have continued to have some problems with just setting the depth of that pocket. And they've had it a little bit on both sides. So, to me, I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of work in progress on that offensive line, but that's one of the things that they were trying to help out Mahomes with was just, you know, setting a pocket that he's a little bit more comfortable with because, you know, with his drops and with his tendency to drift sometimes, you've got to be able to set the depth of that pocket where Mahomes wants it. And I just don't think that we've seen most of the year that they've settled into being able to get that done. So Remmers, maybe a little bit more comfort there, a little bit more knowledge about how the Chiefs want to set things up. We'll see how it works out in the long term, but I'm thinking this is going to be Mike Remmers' position for a while.
Very interesting stuff from Matt Derrick. Okay, now the Chiefs get ready to take on a Tennessee team that knocked off the Bills last night. And at first things first, I'm asking everybody, if you're Sean McDermott, if you're the Buffalo Bills, do you go for it on fourth down the way they did last night?
I mean, I know I'm going against the current analytics and everything, but I think I'm tying the game. I would have kicked the field goal there, taking my chances in overtime, see what happens. I get it. I mean, yeah, you know, you can win the game right there, but you can also lose it. But that said, if I'm going to go for it, that's not the play I call. I mean, to me, once again, it's the you pull out your best play in that situation. If your best play on that position is a quarterback sneak, I can't do that.
Interesting stuff. I was sure he was going to get it. I just was. Like, I feel like almost every time I watch a quarterback sneak on with inches to go, it works, especially with a guy as big as Allen. But he lost his footing. It didn't work. How differently do you view this Titans game now, if at all, after watching them beat the Bills last night?
Yeah, I couldn't really figure out what the Titans are. I mean, they've had kind of a odd season to begin with. They certainly, at the beginning of the first few weeks of the season, to me, did not look like the old Titans. And I figured, okay, well, that's Arthur Smith not being there. Just don't have the same chemistry and the play calling. Maybe they're going to take a step back. But, I you know what? I said it before the season. I think Mike Vrabel, at least, is the third best coach in the AFC. And I think he's just continues to do wonders with that team. I think you see Vrabel's attitude in that team, especially on defense. They're digging in. I mean, now Titans had some losses last night. I mean, the injuries are going to really hurt them, and we will see if those pile up and if that becomes an issue this week. But I mean, Derrick Henry, man, that is a beast to be reckoned with. And the Chiefs have, when they've handled Derrick Henry, they've done well. When they haven't handled Derrick Henry, they have not done well.
Yeah, they held him to 69 yards in the AFC Championship game. I'm going to bring that up as many times as possible through the course of this week. Back in 2019, I mean, that was definitely something worth celebrating. But before we get to Henry, on the Titans, I think we all jumped to bury the Titans a little bit because of one game. Because if you really look at it, they're 4-2 now. They opened up the season with a loss to Arizona. We know now that there's nothing to be ashamed of in terms of losing to Arizona right now. Arizona looks like a juggernaut right now. So that loss, to me, not a big deal. Then they beat Seattle. They beat Indianapolis. But then they lose at the Jets. And I think right there is when everybody went, okay, you can't be any good. If you lose to the Jets, you suck. Like, you just can't be any good. But they bounce back from that. They beat Jacksonville, which isn't going to impress anybody. But this win against Buffalo does. So now they're 4-2 with one bad loss on their resume. And that does, at least for me, Matt, that does make me say, okay, yeah, they're a legit team. Now, you mentioned the injuries. That's a big point. And Derrick Henry, last night, 3 rushing touchdowns again. He had 20 carries in the game. I want you to listen to the carry totals for him in the last 5 games. 35, 28, 33, 29, and 20. And now he's going to be coming in on a short week. I realize the guy's a freak. But at some point, and in a short week like this, do you think that slows him down at all? Or no, he's just too much of a freak, and they're still going to get the full Derrick Henry experience on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to get the full Derrick Henry experience.
Damn it, man! I want him to be tired.
Gosh, it was right before that final Titans drive, and there was a close-up shot of Derrick Henry running onto the field, and my God, that dude's bicep is the size of my leg. I mean, he's a freak of nature. I mean, and I fully buy into the whole, you know, you can run running backs into the ground. And in this league these days, hey, 400 touches, I mean, that's the bygone era. You can't do that anymore. But you know what? Every once in a while, there's an outlier. There's a guy that comes along. Emmitt Smith was an outlier. Derrick Henry's an outlier. I mean, this is the guy that I don't question how much his workload is, what he can do. I mean, that dude with his body seems to be able to absorb. Because mostly he dishes out more punishment than he takes, and that probably helps. But he's a freak. And so, no, I mean, I thought about the only thing you could possibly say that might help you if you're the Chiefs is at least you got the Titans on one day short rest. But other than that, no. I mean, the way this team play, and hey, maybe the Chiefs are catching them at the right time, because I'll be honest, you know what? This might be the first game this year, even the Bills game, I think the Chiefs still had the bullseye on them. I think this might be the first game where you can say that the Chiefs are the hunters, not the hunted, because I think the Titans right now, they're playing better football. They're at home. I mean, for a lot of reasons. I mean, Titans should absolutely be favored in this game. And maybe that's a good spot for the Chiefs to be in, to finally be, you know, trying to chase a team rather than being the ones who are being chased.
Chiefs are 4.5-point favorites, Matt.
That's insane. There's absolutely no way, based on the body of evidence that these two teams have put out there this year, and in Nashville, makes no sense. Vegas is trying to screw with you.
Oh, wait. Now it looks like it's off the board. Jake, what can you get for me? I'm looking at ESPN.com. I don't have all the fancy sites and all that stuff, so I don't know what kind of number you can get right now.
No, it's 4.5.
It was 4.5 a little while ago. There's nothing up there now.
Still is.
Okay.
56 over under.
All right, so Matt, what's your prediction then?
WTF, wrong team favored.
Wow. I thought it was Washington team football.
Exactly. If the Chiefs don't turn the football over, they will absolutely can and probably should win this game. One turnover, though, might be too much. There's a lot of reasons why I probably should be taking the Chiefs. Like I said, I mean, it's a short week. Titans coming off a big victory. There's some key injuries that they're going to have to deal with. You know, Lewin's going to be a huge loss. But I just can't, in my right mind, say this is going to be a Chiefs win. Right now, I'm going to go with the Titans 31-28.
Wow. I did not see that plot twist coming, man. I didn't think there was any way you'd pick against the Chiefs.
I have picked the Chiefs to win every game so far this season, so we know that that's been a spotty track record, so I will probably continue my spotty track record this week.
You're an even 500 so far. All right, Matt, we appreciate the time as always, man. We will talk to you again next week.
Sounds great, Nate. Take care, my friend.
Matt Derrick. I didn't see that coming, Jake. I don't know about you. I feel like Matt usually, like he said, he's picked the Chiefs every week, usually pretty... And now the Chiefs are coming off a win, all that. He's got the Titans 31-28. Wrong team favorite, he says.
That's why I picked him, obviously.
I thought I was going to throw that right back and say, well, you said the wrong team was favorite.
Well, I think there's probably some weight he put into that victory they had over the Bills last night. Derrick Henry, a scary dude.
I mean, he is a scary dude. There's no way around
it. Crush this defense.
He is a beast. And he's one of those guys you go, I don't know how long he's going to be able to do it. But
dude's like 250, man. And he runs like that.
And he's tall. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times with running backs, you feel like, oh, low center of gravity is important.
I've never seen anything like it. I haven't. I mean, he an outlier is a good word. I've never seen anything like Derrick Henry.
You've never seen anything in your life?
In my whole life. Never seen anything in my life.
How does he compare size-wise to AP? I'm going to look at that real quick.
I don't think Adrian Peterson was anywhere near 250.
Let's see here. Adrian Peterson, 6'1", 220.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, 6'3", 247. Like, that's because I was trying to think of somebody that runs a kind of a straight up and down guy, because they're both very upright runners and big and powerful.
He's carrying 25 pounds more than AP.
And running faster.
Yes.
Man, he is
a freak.
He's a beast. He's a beast.
He's only 27, so.
Rushed for 2,000 yards last year. He's on pace for it again this year. So we'll see. Matt Derrick says, wrong team favored. Chiefs favored by 4.5. He's got the Titans winning by 3. We will be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.